everyone. Welcome to the Heart of the Matter. By now, I'm sure all of you have heard about President Obama's controversial remarks concerning the Crusades, remarks which he uttered at the yearly prayer breakfast. It was a couple of weeks ago. Now, as one reads the full text of Mr. Obama's message, it's clear he was laboring very hard to do what he is constantly, it seems, trying to do, justify the religion of Islam as being somehow a gentle, peace-loving religion. Of course, then he's not above rewriting history. In fact, he has to rewrite history and even present facts. And in the process, he also is not above smearing Christianity as part of his strategy. Well, since the prayer breakfast, a great many evangelical leaders, ministers, political operatives, talk show hosts, and even politicians have sprung to the defense of the Crusades in various ways. And in that, of course, they have not defended true Christianity, but they have themselves smeared the true Christian faith, and they have defended the papacy and Romanism. In the process, they're the ones who have presented a distorted view of history, in truth, the Romish version of the facts. Mr. Obama obviously made his remarks out of evil motives for an evil cause, but he was right when he said this, and this is a quote from his prayer breakfast speech. Remember that during the Crusades and the Inquisition, people committed terrible deeds in the name of Christ. Well, he's absolutely right, isn't he? He's absolutely right. He left off that they did it at the behest and command of the Pope. But going on, I've even read accounts of a few evangelicals since the prayer breakfast actually defending the Inquisition, hinting at least that, well, history's been rewritten there as well. It's not what some people think it was. I've actually read some remarks like that, but I would say most evangelicals who defended the Crusades did shy away from even just bringing up the Inquisition. They wouldn't want to hurt the reputation of their Roman Catholic allies. But of course, it's not the Roman Catholic people who were responsible for the Inquisition. It was the Pope and it was his priests. And of course, they had a multitude of people utterly deceived. And yes, a good many of those did, of course, take part one way or another in the Inquisition by, of course, spying on their neighbors and reporting them and so on and so forth. I say reporting that they have found some of those heretics, those Christians. Anyway, those remarks of the president did present, didn't they, an opportunity for those high-profile evangelicals to draw a bright line of demarcation between Romanism and Christianity, making it very clear that the two are utterly opposed to each other. But they didn't. Instead, there was this great outcry justifying the Crusades, and in the process, identifying to the whole world, identifying Romanism as true Christianity and the wholesale barbaric slaughter of the Crusaders to be the work of the followers of Jesus Christ. Well, the historical facts of the Crusades are established, including in various extant documents from that time, including papal bulls. Those evangelicals who have defended the Crusades have done the Antichrist papacy a very great favor. And they have said loud and clear to the world, Romanism is Christianity, Christianity is Romanism, and the Crusades were Christianity in action. Now, before I speak very briefly on the Crusades, I would also mention this to those of you who have not actually read the president's full remarks, which he made at the prayer breakfast. Where was the criticism, I say by those big-name evangelicals, with regard to the president's praise of Pope Francis, who, as it is with all popes, is a blasphemer, an idolater, an enslaver of souls, an usher of hell, and the great usurper of the offices and titles, powers and prerogatives of Christ Jesus. Let me give you an example of what I mean. Here's the president at the prayer breakfast. Quote, Whatever our beliefs, whatever our traditions, we must seek to be instruments of peace and bringing light where there is darkness and sowing love where there is hatred. And this is the loving message of His Holiness, Pope Francis. And like so many people around the world, I've been touched by his call to relieve suffering and to show justice and mercy and compassion to the most vulnerable, to walk with the Lord and ask, "Who am I to judge?" He, Pope Francis, challenges us to press on in what he calls our, quote, march of living hope, unquote. And like, still Obama speaking now, and like millions of Americans, I very much am looking forward to welcoming Pope Francis to the United States later this year. Big applause there. Going on, His Holiness expresses that basic law, treat thy neighbor as yourself. Now, there's quite a Bible quote. I think he means it as a Bible quote. Treat thy neighbor as yourself. The Dalai Lama, anybody who's had an opportunity to be with him, senses that same spirit. Yes, right. You know, I've heard the new evangelicals express outrage over Mr. Obama's remarks on the Inquisition, well, at least on the Crusades, somewhat on the Inquisition, not near so much. I've heard that. One evangelical commentator, Star Parker, went so far as to say, with regard to those remarks of Obama about the Crusades, that she felt verbally raped by the remarks, whatever that disgusting remark of Star Parker means. But, of course, predictably, I did not read or hear one word from the new evangelicals concerning the president's effusive praise of the Pope when he spoke of him. And he spoke of him so much more than any other religious leader. The Dalai Lama came in second, but a poor second compared to the Pope. Well, of course, the new evangelicals had no problem with the president's praise of the Pope. In fact, there were new evangelical leaders wildly applauding the president's good remarks, and more than good remarks, about the Pope. I say they were sitting right there in the audience, and of course, others that weren't there certainly had no problem. They agreed with those remarks by the president about the Pope, that lauding of the Pope. And besides, the new evangelical leaders were just far too busy defending the papal crusades on behalf of the so-called Holy Father, their fast friend. But let's be clear. The fundamental error embraced by both Obama and the new evangelicals is this, that the Crusades were Christian. They were anything but Christian. They were Roman Catholic. But the new evangelicals actually go further into error than Barack Obama because they labor to justify the Crusades, some in part, some in whole. Some will give a few disclaimers, others, oh, no, no, this was a necessary defensive war, and it's been misunderstood, it's been skewered what really happened, and these people were heroes of Christianity. And just to mention one more thing, neither Mr. Obama or the new evangelicals apparently realize that the papal Crusades were not only carried out against the Muslims, but there were also crusades against true Christians, I say in Europe, such as the Albigenses and the Hussites and the Waldenses, to name some. Now, I should mention, with regard to the Albigenses, they were virtually exterminated by the Roman Catholic crusaders. They also, the papacy, went to great lengths to destroy any evidence of the Christianity of the Albigenses, and they were quite successful in large part. And then they substituted Rome's lies concerning what the Albigenses believed. And those lies are now everywhere presented as truth, including, for instance, in the World Book Encyclopedia I have right here. Of course, it's a 1970 edition, but I've seen it other places and far more recently, and even more so in more modern, if you will, sources. So take care where you get for your information on that group of Christians, the Albigenses. Now, I do realize that the Muslims, and specifically the Turks especially, were repeatedly attacking the nations, the states, and the cities of Europe, and they had to be fought. But the Crusades were not about defending life and country against Muslims. I'm talking now about the offensive action of Europe, actually of the papacy, against the Muslims. I'm not talking about the just simple defense of, if you will, the homeland. The Crusades were not about defending life and country against the Muslims and defeating them because they were aggressors. The Crusades were all about capturing Jerusalem and Palestine as a prize for the Pope, who also had hopes of bringing the breakaway Orthodox Church back under papal control. And when I say for the Pope, of course, there were more than one Pope. There was more than one Pope involved in these Crusades and issuing bulls and issuing proclamations to launch them. Those who took part in the papal crusades, whether against Christians in Europe or Muslims in the Middle East, were promised papal indulgences. They were promised then the forgiveness of their sins by the Pope. And the reality is the Pope and his priests outdid the Muslims of that day in persecuting those which popery called heretics, including, of course, true Christians. In fact, anyone suspected of straying from the Pope's fold. Now, I might also say this. If you study the Crusades, and I'm thinking now perhaps especially of the Crusades against the Albigenses and the Waldenses, for instance, I have to say this. The Muslims we see today are brutal and vile. They're cruel. I say those who are attacking others and killing them, and they're heartless. But when you study the Crusades, those sent out by the Pope, I tell you, they actually outdid what the Muslims, these aggressive, I say these warring Muslims, are doing today. They actually outdid them, and that's a fact. It's unbelievable the tortures they came up with and just the incredibly demonic tortures they used and how they dragged out the whole death process and the various things they resorted to rejoice in the suffering of their victims. Now, going back to the Crusades with regard to Palestine, in 1095, Pope Urban II called for a crusade to retake Palestine from the Muslims. As was the case with all the papal crusades, Urban promised the forgiveness of sins for those who would join his crusade, and 40 to 50,000 did just that. Now, there were a great many trained knights, but there were many, many more common people involved. As they marched then across Europe, headed for Palestine, they slaughtered Jews along the way. And once they took Jerusalem, the crusaders rounded up all the Jews they could find, drove them into a large synagogue, and there burned them to death. And then after a few decades, the Muslims won back all the land the crusaders had conquered. So there was need for more crusades. But to make a long story short, for some 200 years, wave after wave of papal crusaders followed that first one. These crusades were declared by the Pope, with the crusaders recruited by fanatic priests, and priests accompanied the crusaders, giving their consent and approval, in fact, urging on the brutal, cruel, and sadistic slaughter of all those designated as heretics by the Pope and who fell into the hands of the crusaders in any place at any time. And have you heard of the Children's Crusade of 1212? In that, two armies of boys and girls, some less than 12 years old, but all stirred up to a fever pitch by the Pope's priests, set out for Palestine on crusade. One army of children came from Germany and one from France, but neither of these two armies reached Palestine. None of the children did. They died along the way of cold, of hunger, of other hardships, many which reached the Mediterranean Sea, then drowned during storms at sea, and the survivors ended up being sold as slaves to the Muslims. And these children suffered and perished by papal consent and approval. This is the truth about the Crusades, a little bit of the truth about the Crusades. You can do your own study. Now, those papal crusades against the Muslims were certainly not the only papal crusades. In the early years of the 13th century, the Pope declared a crusade against Albigenses who lived in southern France. It took Rome Oh, it took Rome a few years. I do not remember how long. It might have been 10 to accomplish their goal of exterminating all known and suspected Albigenses, old and young, men and women, children and infants, at least a few hundred thousand in all. It took them a little while, but they did succeed. Now, it was during the siege and the sacking of the city of Baiae that the papal legate, an abbot, was asked by the knights who led the crusade against the Albigenses, well, when they took this city of Baiae and they were about to take it, how are we going to sort out the heretics from the Roman Catholics? Because there happened to be some Roman Catholics in that city. The Pope's representative, as J.A. Wiley records it in his History of Protestantism, replied, kill all, the Lord will know his own. In the end, 20,000 men, women, children, infants, the entire population of Baiae were cruelly done to death. And this, of course, was the policy of the papal crusades. Now, the Waldenses were declared heretics by Pope Lucius III in 1184, and the killing of them began wherever they were apprehended, and of course tortured in the various ways. You need to study the Inquisition, by the way, and the different methods used to torture the victims of popery and then, of course, kill them. But these tortures were used, and these were brutally done to death wherever they were found. And then a number of crusades, official crusades, were also launched by the Pope against the faithful Waldensi people who lived in their homelands, the Alpine valleys of northern Italy and southern France. But again, those missionaries and pastors of the Waldensi people also had fanned out across Europe with the gospel and were distributing Bibles. So they were apprehended wherever they found them, and they were killing them. But there were then these official crusades also. And the persecution of the Waldenses went on for generations. And though Rome never succeeded in wiping them out, she did murder a great multitude of men, women, and children, including babies, including by the most barbaric, sadistic, fiendish ways possible. These crusaders that went into those valleys of the Waldenses in the Alps, oh, they were promised all the property of the Waldenses. They were told, do what you want with their persons, just so you promptly kill them when you're done. And they did. I don't know if you could stomach if I went through all the different tortures they used, all the sadistic things they did to men, women, and children. They were killed every way possible, and often as slowly and brutally as possible. And it was even that young girls, and I hate to even bring this up, and I hope you don't have children listening, but young girls, Waldensi girls, were raped, and their parents were forced to watch this, and then they were all killed. And it was horrific, and the Pope cheered them on. The Pope told them to go do this. This was a reward to do what they wanted with these Waldenses so long as they killed them. And so it was a horrific thing, and this too was part of the papal crusades that the new evangelicals have been defending, I think probably in ignorance. But that's no excuse. You know, as soon as you link arms with the Roman Catholic Church against what the Word of God plainly says, and when you're told, look, here's what the Word of God says about this. Look, here's what the Roman Catholic Church actually teaches, and you stubbornly persist in your ecumenical yoking with the Antichrist. Well, of course, you're going to turn a blind eye to these things. These are people who haven't tried to find out the truth either, and they're going to, of course, go from worse to worse unless they repent. But earlier I mentioned papal bulls. I want you to listen to some of the bull of Pope Innocent VIII, which he issued for the extermination of the Waldenses. Now, this was in 1487. Of course, he promised forgiveness of sins and so on and so forth. But let's just read what the Pope wrote in this bull, or at least we'll read I will read excerpts. It's quite long. We have heard, and it has come to our knowledge, not without much displeasure, that certain sons of iniquity, inhabitants of the province of, I cannot pronounce this name, particular name, followers of that abominable and pernicious sect of malignant men who are called the poor people of Lyon or the Waldenses, who have long ago endeavored in Piemont and other neighboring parts by the procurement of him who is a sower of evil works, through byways purposely sought out and hidden precipices, to ensnare the sheep belonging unto God. Remember now, the Waldenses were a very faithful and godly people. Let's go on. And at last, to bring them to the perdition of their souls by deadly cunning, are damnably risen up under a feigned pretense of holiness, being led into a reprobate sense, and do greatly err from the way of the truth. And following superstitious and heretical ceremonies, do say, act, and commit very many things contrary to the Orthodox faith. Orthodox in, as in, what the Pope taught. Offensive to the eyes of the divine majesty, and which do occasion a very great hazard of souls. Another excerpt. We therefore, having determined to use all our endeavors and to employ all our care, as we are bound by the duty of our pastoral charge to root up and extirpate such a detestable sect and the aforesaid execrable errors, that they may not spread further. Well, yes, like execrable errors, such as justification by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, and Christ is the only head of the church, and so on and so forth. And that the hearts of believers may not be damnably perverted against the Catholic Church, to proceed to the execution thereof against the forenamed Waldenses and all other heretics whatsoever, to rise up in arms against them, and by a joint communication of processes to tread them underfoot as venomous adders. And we'll jump to another excerpt. Moreover, that Charles, our most beloved son in Christ, illustrious King of France, and our beloved sons, the noble Charles of Savoy and of the adjacent forenamed places, and the dukes, princes, earls, and temporal lords of the cities, territories, and universities of places, and the confederates of High Germany and all other of those places who are believers in Christ, do take up the shield of the Orthodox faith, which they did profess when they were baptized, and of the cause of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom kings reign and lords bear rule, and give assistance to the same archbishops, bishops, and to you, and to the aforesaid vicars and general officials, and to the inquisitor, with reasonable savors and their secular power, as they shall see it expedient for the execution of this most necessary and wholesome inquisition, and ardently oppose themselves against these most detestable heretics by procuring that they may be exterminated and destroyed. And by the way, that they may be exterminated and destroyed is in all capital letters for emphasis, as a few other things are here, such as root up and extirpate such a detestable sect and tread them underfoot as venomous adders, and this most necessary and wholesome inquisition. Going on, another excerpt. And if you shall think it expedient to cause, exhort, and induce all the faithful in those parts by fit preachers of God's word, the priests preaching the cross or the crusade, to fight manfully against the same heretics, all caps again, having taken the saving sign of the cross upon their hearts and garments, and to grant, all capitals, that such as are signed with the cross and fight against the said heretics, or such as contribute thereof, may obtain, according to appointment, once in their life and also at the point of death, a plenary indulgence and remission of all their sins. In the meantime, to choose and depute and confirm one or more fit generals of war and captains for the gathering of the crusade army in our name, that is the Pope's name, and in the name of the Church of Rome, given at Rome at St. Peter's in the year of our Lord's Incarnation, 1487, the 27th of April, and in the third year of our popedom. This was Innocent the Eighth, wasn't it? The Eighth, yes. Innocent the Eighth, it's 1487. For the extirpation of the Waldenses. And as I said, the Waldenses were just done to death in such horrible ways. They were just, people were buried alive. People were just torn apart. People were gashed with sabers and had their wounds filled up with quicklime. People had sulfurous matches forced under their flesh and under the nails, under their fingers, and they were lit. One man had his mouth filled with gunpowder, and it was lit off. A woman had the flesh cut from her cheek and chin bone, so her jaw was left bare, and she was left to perish. People were sliced in pieces little by little by little by little. They were impaled and carried about. They were burned to death. There was one group, I think it was around 400 women, mothers with their children, that hid in a cave. They were found, and the Roman Catholics just lit big fires and purposely just asphyxiated them. There were children just torn in half. One would each take a crusader would take a leg each, and they would rip them in half. They threw a great many over cliffs, dashed them against trees, the children, that is. In fact, Milton wrote a poem. I wish I had it in front of me. You can look that up on the internet, maybe, about what happened here and calling upon God to avenge the death of the Waldenses, and it just went on and on. It was just butchering. It was just, I can't begin to, in this short time, tell about it and all the suffering. And of course, what happened whenever there was a large number, for instance, caught somewhere in the valleys of the Alpine Alps and cornered and murdered, what happened? Well, Rome got the news, and they had a holiday. They rang the bells. They fired the cannons. Of course, the Pope issued his medals, and much cheering and rejoicing. It's just unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. And this is what so many new evangelicals, first of all, don't know anything about, I suppose. But second of all, when they defend the Crusades, they're defending this. Now, the reason, practically speaking, that the popes were not able to wipe out the Waldenses entirely, completely, is that these people lived in the rugged valleys of the Alps, and they were rugged people. And by necessity, and as best they could, when they had the chance, they made use of their knowledge of the rugged terrain, and they defended themselves as well, as best as they could, against the overwhelming Romish hordes that invaded their valleys. And so a great number of them died, but they fought back, and this went on and on and on and on. Now, the Waldense ministers and others that were caught, and certainly those that were in other places other than those Alpine valleys, they walked as sheep to the slaughter. They laid down their lives for Christ. But, of course, this genocide that was loosed in the homeland of the Waldenses was something that the men had to at least try to defend their women and their children. And that they did with great bravery and skill. You ought to read about it. You ought to read about it. There are some good, sound, solid, reliable histories out there. You can read about these things. I'm thinking now of the volumes written by J.A. Wiley, for instance. And you can read certainly about, he's very good on the Waldenses, for instance, with a lot of good history on that. And there are other histories as well when it comes to the histories of, I say, the Church of Jesus Christ. Dubonnet comes to mind. But I would just encourage you to know your history. But going back to the Waldensians, yes, they did defend themselves in those valleys, but a great multitude of our brethren, men, women, and children, were slaughtered by the papal crusaders and also put to death. They were brutally tortured and put to death in other regions when captured. Now, I've just talked a little bit about the Crusades. Just a little bit. There's so much more we could say. And in a sense, I don't know if it's called a crusade, but there was this onslaught of the Spanish armies of Charles and then his son Philip, the holy, so-called Holy Roman Emperor, the servants of the Pope. At the Pope's behest, there was this onslaught against Little Holland, where there had been a great, great awakening, and they too had to defend themselves and were very valiant. And in the end, they succeeded. But first, there was a spiritual awakening setting the stage. And so they picked up the spiritual sword first, and many, many suffered. And it came to the point where the Spanish soldiers were just given their women and children to do whatever they wanted to them. And they did terrible things, and then they were killing everyone. And so, of course, there came a time when they did fight. But we do not have time. I mentioned the Hussites, and there were other crusades as well. And so we need to know our history. And I hope you understand how terrible it is when new evangelicals defend the Crusades. They should take the opportunity to say, we condemn the Crusades too, but you must understand this and these were the Pope's Crusades. We are not Roman Catholics, and popery is not true Christianity. Understand that. And here's where we disagree, and here's where we differ, and here's what true Christians believe, and here's what the Pope and his priests teach, and so on and so forth. But instead, what have they been doing? They have been standing up and being a mouthpiece for Antichrist, and it is very, very tragic. But there's only so much one can say on such a large subject in such a short time. I've made my point, and so we close here.